used. He wouldn't buy me a gun. I'd bother him about it and, you know, tell him that, you know, my uncle bought my cousins a gun. Why can't he just buy me a gun? And he never would. He always said, if you earn the money yourself and buy a gun, you'll take better care of it. And I think he's right. As I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate that more than I did when I was a kid. But anyway, as Jesus taught his disciples when he was here on earth, he used a similar approach, I believe. When he was asked a question, he did not just spell out an answer. He would answer with another question, or he would answer with a parable, or he would compare the kingdom of heaven to something here on earth. And I believe he wanted the people that he was teaching to put in some effort and use their minds to try to figure out, maybe answer their own question to a certain extent. So when Pastor Layton asked me if I would share a message this morning, one of the first things that came to mind was one of those instances where Jesus took the opportunity that was given him to teach and use one of those comparisons. And the one that I would like to look at this morning is in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to be skipping around through a few different scriptures this morning, so if you want to turn to them, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay too. I'll just read them. Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. His disciples had been arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And they came and asked him. And Jesus replied, I'll just start at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So this morning I would like to use my time to explore maybe what some of the characteristics of children that Jesus was referring to. So I have a list of a few. It's not everything that he was talking about, I'm sure. Children are kind of a big part of my life right now, and so I don't know if that's maybe why it came to mind or what. But anyway, so first of all, children are generous. In Luke chapter 6, I have a few verses I'd like to read. Luke chapter 6, verses 34, 35, and 38. Jesus says, and if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And then skipping down to verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Shall man give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Children are not stingy. I mean, there comes a point in time as they age that I think that they start to become a little more selfish. But a couple of years ago, my one daughter had the hardest time staying in bed. And so we were trying to find a way to help her learn to stay in bed. And I came up with what I thought was a brilliant idea. And it was simply take two bowls and a pack of Smarties and And so I grabbed the two bowls and a pack of Smarties, and I brought my daughter over, and I said, all right, here's the deal. I'm going to put these Smarties in your bowl, and every time you get out of bed, I'm going to take two of your Smarties, and I'm going to put them in my bowl. And I was feeling pretty smug about this. I thought, Smarties speak to children. This is going to work. Well, I put her to bed, and just like I expected, it wasn't long till she hopped out. So I took her into the bathroom where I had put the bowls, and I took two Smarties out so she could see it real good and plain, and I put them in my bowl, and I put her back in bed. Well, it wasn't long till she was out of bed again, and so I did the same thing. I took her, and I took two of her Smarties out of her bowl, and I put them in my bowl, and put her back in bed. And I don't remember how many times this happened, but I know she was running out of Smarties. And I knew the gig was up when she hopped out of bed one time and she came over to me and she said, hey, Dad, you want some more Smarties? She wasn't too concerned about giving her stuff away. She didn't really care. So yeah, children are, if you ask for something, I'm amazed how often if I ask my children for something that they have, they just hand it over. They just give it to me. Okay, so next, children are honest. And I'm not necessarily thinking about this as what honest in what they say, but they're honest in the way that they live. Children don't, they don't make a lot of effort to cover up what they're feeling. Just yesterday, we had a tragic event at our place. We had a litter of kitties. There were four of them, and I don't know what happened, but I was in the house, and one of my children came in and said that another one of my children was really sad because the kitties were all dead. And so I went out to the barn and went up in the hayloft with, and as I got closer, I could hear weeping up in the hayloft. And yeah, I went up there, and here's my daughter holding a little dead cat in her hand. And I walked up, and she's just sobbing. And I got a little closer, and I could smell the thing. And I kind of grimaced a little bit and tried to help her feel better about it, but there was no shame in weeping. It was just, she was sad and just let it out. Children are also, it's plain to see when they're happy too. If things are going good, they wear it on their face and in the way that they bounce around and their mannerisms. And I think we adults can be pretty sometimes maybe ashamed or just embarrassed to let our feelings out, to be real about what's going on. And I appreciated, Merv, what you shared this morning and just being vulnerable and letting us as a body know what you're going through. Jesus calls us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And it's hard to do that if we don't know what's going on with each other. It's hard to care for one another. Okay, Luke chapter 14 is where I'm headed next. Children are accepting of other people. It doesn't matter what you look like. They don't pick their friends based on what kind of clothes they wear or their social status. If you're in the same age range and you want to have fun, children just welcome you in. And they can have all kinds of fun with people who are different than they are. Probably all of us have experienced talking on the phone to somebody maybe a couple times, if whether we're getting ready to do a job for them or whatever the reason we're communicating, talking on the phone, and you kind of get a mental image of the person you're dealing with. You you make some assumptions. And sometimes when you meet, it's a little shocking. You see this person, it's like, wow, that's not what I expected. Maybe sometimes it's good, maybe sometimes you don't think it's good, I don't know. But we make assumptions about people based on what they sound like. At least I should speak for myself. What they sound like, what they look like, how they dress. We look at someone and we draw some conclusions. And our tendency as humans is to want to be with people who will reciprocate whatever we invest into them. It's nice to do something for somebody if you know that someday down the road they're going to come and help you out, or, you know, kind of repay the favor. But Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, he said, Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So Jesus says, don't pick the people that you hang around or choose to bless people based on what you think you're going to get from it. We need to just bless people because that's what God calls us to do. If the way someone looks, appears, smells, sounds, affects the value that we place on them and a relationship with them, are we loving like Jesus does? What do we base the value that we place on someone off of? All right, Matthew chapter 6 is where my next scripture is. Children are joyful and content often. It doesn't take much to make a child happy. They don't waste a lot of time worrying about life. They're content. They're, as long as you feed them and give them a place to sleep, they're pretty happy. We've probably all seen children outside playing with sticks and stones and mud pies, and they can entertain themselves for hours outside just doing simple things. They're not concerned about having the latest and greatest. They're easy to please, I guess you could say. We adults, it seems like we can always find something to worry about. Whether it's worrying about health or bills that need to be paid or something at work. There's no end of things that we can worry about. And nothing, I don't think anything robs us of joy like worry does. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 says this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Being a father has given me a little better perspective on the way that God wants to care for us. If I see that my children have a need, like a genuine need, it's not just something they want or a preference. If I see a need of my children and I have the resources to meet it, I want to meet it. I don't want my children to do without something that they need. And our Father, our Heavenly Father, has unlimited resources to meet our needs, and he knows what's happening. If you know, we read these verses, it makes it very, very clear that the Lord, he sees us, and he wants to care for us. I don't know how many of you all have read any books on George Mueller, but if you want to read stories about a man who didn't worry about tomorrow, read about George Mueller. There's just story after story of how God meets his needs as he's running an orphanage. It's incredible. There's a book titled George Mueller, The Guardian of Bristol's Orphans that I read several years ago, and it's really worth your time. It's a good book. So check that out if you get a chance to. If we can trust that God, if we can trust that our needs will be met and can choose to be content with our needs being met, joy will be the natural response. We will find joy if we can be content in where we're at. Okay, Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35. It's a very familiar parable that Jesus told. I'll start from verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would have take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou asked me. Should not you have also had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my Father, Heavenly Father, do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Children are very forgiving. There's been a lot of times that I had to go to my children and ask them to forgive me for something, and never once have they refused. Usually it's a very quick response. Yes, I'll forgive you. And it doesn't matter, you know, if I have to do it twice in, you know, the same day, they don't say, well, Dad, you just asked me to forgive you for this, you know, 3 or 4 hours ago, what's going on? They just say, sure. And after, you know, after that transaction, if you want to call it that, there's no inhibition in their spirit. Like they're just as open and free to me as they were before. And that's a real challenge to me, to be able to forgive like a child. It's so easy to say, yeah, I'll forgive you. But in your heart, you just harbor this, there's, I don't know what to call it, but there's just this resistance still there, or some kind of a, yeah, there's a little bit of a attitude, a little bit of residue left over. And that's not how Jesus calls us to forgive. He calls us to forgive freely, and if we do, he in turn forgives us. Okay, for the last one, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Children are persistent. Any of you parents know that? If you are a parent or had little children in the past, you know that children are persistent. I don't know how many times I've told my kids to just ask me the question once and then give me a chance to answer it before you ask it again. But I've said it a lot of times. But children ask until they get an answer. They don't stop. They just keep asking. So Luke chapter 18, the first 8 verses. And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It takes a lot of dedication to pray for something for years. I find myself, you know, I see a need and I want to pray for it. And so I decide I'm going to pray for this, and I do for a while, and then, you know, the next thing I know, I've forgotten about it, and I have to be reminded I need to keep praying for this. Or if I pray for it for a while, and it's sometimes you feel like there's no change happening. Is this working? Am I doing any good by praying? But Jesus calls us to be persistent and not let up. Don't stop praying until you get an answer. So what is it that enables children to be so open-handed with their relationships and with the way that they interact with people? I think that there's two things that it kind of boils down to. I think one is humility. Children don't have pride until they start getting a little age, but they just don't care what people think. They don't care they're not afraid of being taken advantage of because they're generous. They don't worry about looking foolish for letting their emotions show. They just live, and they're not afraid of what other people think of their friends. They're happy to be with their friends. They don't care what other people think about them. So they're humble. I think it's in James. There's a verse that says something about God resisting the proud, but giving grace to the humble. And I think the other part, and there may be more, but the other part I think is they're trusting. Children assume that they're going to be cared for. They don't assume that they're going to have to fight for themselves. They assume that their parents are going to care for them and meet their needs. And they tend to believe what they're told also. If I go to somebody's house and they have a dog that comes, you know, barking out at me and acting all suspicious of me, and the owner comes out and says, "Oh, that dog won't bother you. He's never bit anybody, but he's standing there barking at me," I'm not going to take their word for it. I'm going to keep an eye on that dog and make sure that he doesn't bite me. On the other hand, I've told this story before, but for the sake of the point, I'm going to tell it again. We have a couple of Scottish Highland cows, and they're kind of a little bit intimidating-looking critters. They've got horns, you know, they're kind of big, and they're kind of big and woolly, and they look a little scary, but they're very gentle. But one day I was outside working or doing something, and the girls came out, and they wanted to go out to the barn for some reason. So they headed for the barn, and I think on the way there was some discussion about the cows. They were a little concerned about it. And so one of them came hustling back to me and said, "Dad, are the cows going to hurt me?" And I said, "No, they won't bother you." And she didn't say another word. She didn't bat an eye. She turned around and headed for the barn with a smile on her face. She took my word, you know, for what it was. She just believed me. There was no doubt in her mind. I could tell by the way that she responded. She was trusting what I said. And we have a lot of promises from God that if we can trust those promises, it's going to give us a lot of freedom and a lot of joy. And I think the other thing, well, for us, I think if we can conduct our lives according to the greatest commandments, which are love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, that'll go a long way in helping us become childlike in the way that we live. So, okay, that's all I've got. Pastor Keith, I think I'll let you close.